This next story contains narratives of harassment, attempted sexual assault, and violence, and could be disturbing for some listeners. Tiffany Rogers is a worker in the service industry who has lived in Athens for 11 years. She normally walks to and from work. It's good exercise, she says. Rogers often tries not to work late night shifts, though, because of instances like a few months ago when she was recently walking home around 8 p.m. A man in a truck drove by and asked her if she wanted a ride home. As you'd expect, she declined.
I decided to take the long way home because he kept circling around and slowing his vehicle down and rolling his window down and persisting that he should give me a ride home after I've already said no thank you.
According to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, or RAIN, 8 out of 10 rapes are committed by someone known to the victim, meaning there's a small likelihood that an instance of street harassment will escalate to a full sexual assault. However, that doesn't diminish how frightening, threatening, and violating these encounters can be. According to Gabriela Mejia, a communications and training associate at the nonprofit Holla Back,
instances of street harassment, while not as violating or criminal as rape, do contribute to a culture where people who do the harassing are disrespecting and devaluing women's bodies and women's identity.
Mejia also notes that street harassment can be broken into 3 categories: verbal, intimidation, and physical. All women are vulnerable to street harassment, but Michaela Green, president of the University of Georgia chapter of the National Council of Negro Women, says that in her experience, Black women are especially susceptible to harassment from all men, and that harassment can quickly escalate.
We have the base struggle of being Black and then being on top of that, being a woman. I feel like it escalates it even further because in a way in the Black male community or whatever, they feel like we kind of owe them in a way. And I feel like that's what kind of causes it to escalate in that way.
Malia Cooper, the vice president of UGA's National Council of Negro Women, says that as a teen, she often felt hypersexualized as a Black woman by Black men. When she came to UGA, where there were more men outside of her own race, that hypersexualization evolved to include another facet.
As Black women, we kind of face this really weird struggle of being fetishized by people outside of our race. They just look at it as just like, it's fun, when really as Black women, it can be dehumanizing.
For something as commonplace as street harassment, there are a lot of unanswered questions. For example, it's difficult to unravel the exact intent and psychology of a street harasser. Do they think women enjoy getting catcalled? Or is it a matter of exerting power and control? According to Sally Kimmel Shepherd, executive director of The Cottage.
So if I compare the harasser to what I know about rapists, I would say that there probably is a correlation of some sort of emotional immaturity. They don't quite understand what makes people tick enough to take that into consideration if you really want a quality interaction with another human being. And so they're making this person that they're harassing into an object rather than a human being, which is very common in sexual assault.
Mejia, from the nonprofit Holla Back, says the perpetuation of harassment can lead to far more dangerous behaviors, something Tiffany Rogers experienced firsthand.
Years ago, again, walking home, and a gentleman was following me, and he's like, Hey, sweet thing, let me talk to you for a second. Like, kept walking, and this man threw himself on top of me and attempted to rape me. And thankfully, just how I had fallen was able to push him off of me and run home.
The instinctive response to street harassment is no response at all. But sometimes that can antagonize or encourage harassers even more, which is exactly what happened to Michaela Green while she was pumping gas.
I walked back out and I noticed a guy sitting outside staring at me, and he's like, "Hey, beautiful, what's your name?" And I was always taught to ignore, you know, the comments and the things of that nature. And that may seem harmless, like the, "Hey, beautiful, what's your name?" But when I didn't respond, he yelled at me and he said, "Hey, didn't you hear me? Are you ignoring me? Do you feel the need to ignore me? Do you think you're too good for me?" And, you know, I kept walking. I sped up.
Gabriela Mejia says that there are steps you can take. First, trust your instincts. Second, reclaim your space through methods such as directly addressing a harasser and telling them to stop, or by documenting the experience. And last, practice resilience and care for yourself after an instance of harassment. But she also says there's no real formula to handle an incident of harassment.
It's not someone's responsibility to have a perfect response every single time they experience harassment. So if you've responded in ways that I haven't mentioned or that I haven't even imagined in what I was saying, they were the perfect response that kept you safe in that instance.
And just like it's not someone's responsibility to have the perfect response, it's also not the responsibility of women to act in a manner that de-escalates, prevents, or fixes street harassment. It's a cultural shift that needs to happen through conversations within male communities, says Malia Cooper.
Like racism, it isn't the burden to solve racism or find some solution to racism. It shouldn't be put on the oppressed. And so it's like the same thing will go with street harassment or other issues plaguing Black women. Is it's like, the burden to solving street harassment, it's impossible to place that burden on Black women because it's nothing that we're doing to cause it. Instead, that conversation has to be had in male-dominated communities to solving it, but it's not happening.
Because while statistically speaking, a woman is less likely to be assaulted by a street harasser than by someone she knows, the threat is still a very real one, as Tiffany Rogers knows all too well. And sometimes these encounters can prove fatal. Here are three poets from Team Chicago in 2019 during the Brave New Voices International Youth Poetry Slam Festival, performing their poem, "Shoot Your Shot."
Say, what is a Black girl's body if not a bullseye? Me and all my sisters that never made it onto the bus ride home. The minute I heard him call me, I stopped dead in my tracks. I am learning men love things the same way they smother them. I am learning men love things to death.
You can find links to Hollaback, Rain, and The Cottage at WUGA.org.